Morning, church.
Good morning.
Hopefully someday we'll make a little more space up here. We're praying about that so we can get more people as a part of the worship team, more people participating. Today, I think my microphone is really loud. I don't know. How are you guys listening to? Yeah, it is, right? Yeah, let's lower that and let's take out a lot of the echo. That would be great. Let's see, 1, 2. Well, today we are experiencing the favor of God, and that is the series that we're going through right now. The favor of God. Today we're experiencing the favor of God. Today His mercies. When you got up this morning, the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. So I want to encourage you this morning to take out your notes and open up your Bibles. But also I want to encourage you to open up your hearts this morning for God's Word. This morning we're going to continue on the series, The Favor of God. And the main idea on this series on the favor of God is to be able to understand and appreciate that each one of us understands and appreciates how every day in our everyday life we experience the goodness of God. We were just singing a song that had to do with that. And every time I sing this song, it takes me back. It takes me back. And all the time, every single time I sing this song, I just remember how good God has been to me. And that song, the lyrics of that song touch my heart so much when we sing, "All my life you have been faithful." All of my life, even through those hard, dark times in my life, God has been faithful. God has taken care of us every single time in our lives. And a lot of times when we talk about God's favor, we got to remember, as we talk about it on the first week, we got to remember that God's favor is the divine kindness, an act of true compassion on the part of God towards the need of underserving human beings. So we don't deserve His kindness. We don't deserve His favor. But in spite of who we are, He still applies His favor in our lives. He exercises His kindness. He exercises His compassion on people like us, who a lot of times do not deserve it. The book of Matthew says, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. So His favor is for everybody. He sends the rain over the righteous and the unrighteous. We all experience His favor. But when we talk about the favor of God, and through the years, I have heard so many teachings on God's favor. And every time I hear a teaching on the favor of God, on God's favor, I usually hear people talking about when you experience all these good things, when you experience all these blessings, when you experience all the good things that you are expecting to get, that's when you experience God's favor. And a lot of times we don't stop to think that even when we go through the hard times, all of our lives He has been faithful. No, we're going through, when we're going through trials, when we're going through hard times, through dark times, He has still been faithful with us. We're still experiencing His favor even through the hard times in life. But most people have this wrong idea that when you are experiencing the favor of God, it's only when good things are happening in your life. So let me ask you this question. When things are not going as you plan, when problems come your way, when trials overwhelm you, are you able to see God's favor in your life? Are you able to see that God, a lot of times, is trying to protect you? You're going through a problem, sometimes maybe God is trying to protect you. You're going through a hard time in life, maybe God is trying to give you direction.
And when God is trying to protect you, and He's using those hard times, you are experiencing the favor of God. Yes, God may show you His favor by allowing you to go through some of those hard seasons in life. And we might not identify that at that moment. We might not identify the fact that God is using those hard seasons, those tough situations, for our benefit. I heard a story this week. It was an interesting story because it's about a guy who's a bowler. And this guy, Bill Fong, was just three rolls away from perfection. Three consecutive perfect games, a 900 pins in history of bowling. There have only been 25 perfect series where people have knocked down all these 900 pins. And he was only three more tries away from breaking a record. And so he's at the 33, he does 34, he does 35, he's got to do 36. But when he's doing 34 and 35, he begins sweating. And as he's sweating, he's also feeling dizzy. He grabs the bowling ball, puts it in his chest, goes over, knocks down the ball, the pins, 34, goes 35, knocks down all the pins, all 10. But in that last one, he gets a perfect shot and he throws the ball, and everybody's cheering, everybody's yelling, everybody's like, he's going to get it perfect. And he's happy because he knows that he's going to break a record. A total of 900 pins, perfect strikes. And when he throws that perfect shot, all the pins fly away, all the pins go down, except for one. And one is just bouncing back and forth and stays up. So as he leaves that place, he leaves discouraged, he leaves sad, he puts his head down. He doesn't want to celebrate, but he's still sweating. He's still having dizziness. He goes back home. When he gets home, he goes to the bathroom. When he goes to the bathroom, he starts puking. The next day, he goes to the doctor. And when he goes to the doctor the next day, the doctor tells him and lets him know that he had a stroke the night before while he was doing that. And when they did a procedure a couple of months later, the doctor told Bill, that pin that didn't fall saved your life. Because if that pin would have fallen, you would have been so excited and celebrating, and your blood pressure would have gone up. And if your blood pressure would have gone up, you would have died at that moment. A lot of times, when some things happen in our lives, we see it as a negative thing. We don't see it as God's favor, on our favor. A lot of times we don't see these things as God's hand protecting us. God's hand helping us to go on in a different way in life. A lot of times when we're experiencing problems, when we're experiencing trials, when we're experiencing those hard, tough, dark times, a lot of times all we do is complain about it. And very, very little bit of times we realize God might be doing this because He's trying to protect me. Because it's the favor of God on us. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. This is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. The Apostle Paul tells the church in Rome, and we know. He says, we do know. We do know that God causes everything to work together. The Apostle Paul is telling these believers in Rome, everything God allows in your life, somehow, somewhat, one way or another way, God works it together. And God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. And when we read this verse, it helps me to understand that even when we're going through hard seasons in our lives, God has a purpose. God has a purpose for us going through those hard seasons in our lives. It's God's favor on us. And even though a lot of times we don't accept it, we don't realize it, we don't want to see it. And notice that in verse right here in verse 28 in the beginning, the first two words he says, we know. We know. We understand. We are convinced. What are we convinced of? What do we know? Do we know the details of the issues we're going through? Do we know that it's going to get... do we know what's going on sometimes? Maybe not. But what we do know is that we can trust God who has control over every single situation that's going through our lives. We know, we understand that God is... He purposely causes everything, including those hard seasons, to work together for good for those who love God. In other words, what the Apostle Paul was telling these believers in Rome is that God has a good purpose afterwards, and no matter what you're going through, God has a good purpose. The seasons of greater growth in our lives are the hard seasons. If we don't go through hard seasons, a lot of times, most of the time, we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. So how can God use those hard seasons for our good? I believe God uses those hard seasons for our correction. A lot of times, God is allowing you to go through some difficult situations because He wants to correct something in you. And a lot of times, again, what we tend to do is we tend to see it in a negative way. We tend to see it and complain. We don't stop to think, what is God? Is God trying to correct something in my life? And that is God's favor on you. God's favor wants you to get better. God's favor wants you to correct something in your life. And so what God does is He allows a tough situation sometimes, because sometimes we don't listen when God is too nice. When God is too nice to us, we don't listen. Sometimes He's got to get tough. And the psalmist, the writer of Psalm 119, verse 65 through 71, he experienced exactly that. But after he experienced that, he recognized that God allowed these situations in his life for a good reason, for his own benefit. Look at what Psalm 119, 65 through 71 says. So the writer says, "You have done many good things for me." Notice that first he acknowledges that God has done many good things for him. "You have done many good things for me." And he says, "Lord, just as you promised, you have done many good things for me. I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge." Now, how did he get here? How did he get to this point? How did he get to the point of understanding what God was trying to do in his life? How did he get to the point of saying, "God, you have been so good to me. How did I become a person who believes in your commands?" Verse 66. "How did I become a person who desires for you, God, to teach me good judgment and knowledge? How did I get there?" Look at what it says in verse 67. "I used to wander off." Have you ever wandered off? Now, I'm sure you have never done that, right? So I used to wander off until when? "Until you discipline me." A lot of times we see discipline as a negative thing. It is not. God a lot of times has to allow discipline in our lives so that we change the course of where we're going if we're going the wrong way. And he says, "I used to wander off. I used to do whatever I want. I used to do what I thought it was good in my own sight. But when I was going through that, you had to discipline me." In other words, I had to go through a time that wasn't pleasant to me. Unless you like discipline. I didn't like to be spanked when I was spanked when I was a kid. Did you? No, you didn't. Of course not. We didn't like to be disciplined. But he says, "I used to wander off until you disciplined me, Lord. But now I closely follow your word." So for me, to get to the point of listening to God, for me to get to that point of following God's word, I had to be disciplined. So remember what he said in verse 65 when he says, "You have done many good things for me. You have been good to me." So when you discipline me, it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. You are good and you do only good. Teach me your decrees. Arrogant people smear me with lies, but in truth I obey your commands with all of my heart. Their hearts are dull and stupid. They're dull and stupid. But I delight in your instructions. Verse 71. My suffering was good for me. I don't know how many of us can say that. My suffering was good for me. Why? It says, because it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. It taught me to pay attention to your words. God's word, God's favor uses our problems, uses our hard times, uses the time that we have to go through discipline for our own benefit. That's what the writer of this psalm is talking about. You know, the problem is with most people, the problem with us as human beings is we don't know how to profit from our problems. We don't know how to profit from our problems. A lot of times we see a problem, we see it in a negative way instead of seeing as, what can I learn from this problem? What does God want me to learn from this problem? A lot of times we don't know how to harvest from our hurts. And a lot of times we don't know how to learn from our losses. We lose stuff. We love, you know, from our losses. In God's favor, through your problems, He might be using those to correct something in you. He might be using those to correct stuff that you're doing, things the way you think about it, the way you do things in life, things that maybe not be pleasing to the Lord. It's all over God's favor. God wants to make sure you are corrected in those things. But He doesn't only correct us, He also protects us. God wants to protect. God's protection happens when we're going through hard times. Sometimes we lose stuff. Sometimes we might lose a job. Sometimes we might lose a relationship. And when we lose things, when we lose people, when we lose relationships, when we lose a business, when we lose different things, we might lose things that we think that were the best things for our lives. And sometimes God allows you to lose those things because God has a better purpose for your life. That's why the Bible says that He works all things together. He wants all things to come together for our benefit. So sometimes God's favor is protecting us through our own suffering. At the moment of the suffering, most of us don't understand what He's doing. Now, God hasn't called us to understand every single detail of our sufferings. But He wants us to trust in Him in the process. And let me say it again. God hasn't called us to understand every single detail of our difficulties or our hard times or our trials. But He has called us to trust Him in the process. And that's what happened to Joseph in the book of Genesis. To Joseph, that happened in the book of Genesis. Joseph was a good boy. Remember that? Joseph was a good boy. But because he was so good, he was a good kid, his brothers were jealous of him and sold him as a slave. You know, Joseph didn't know why this was happening. Joseph had no idea, why is this happening to me? All I've done is good stuff. So why are my brothers selling me as a slave? Then after they sold him as a slave, the guy who bought it from his brothers, they went and resold Joseph again to another guy in Egypt. And as he went over there and became a servant to that person in Egypt, the woman, the wife of that guy, who, you know, she was trying to get on Joseph, and Joseph ran away, and she was accusing Joseph of trying to rape her and stuff. And Joseph ended up in jail. So for being a good boy, he sold by his brothers. For being a good servant, he was put in jail by his own master. Then the king of Egypt, at some point, sent two guys to jail for a little bit. And these guys that went to jail had some dreams. And they talked to Joseph. We know the story. And one of them got not a very good dream. And the other one said, you know what? Because you told me my dream, and you told me that I'm going to be free from this jail and go back and serve the Pharaoh, I'm going to make sure I put a good word for you. So he even forgot about Joseph after he got out of jail. And when he went over there and forgot about Joseph, eventually Pharaoh had a dream. And Joseph and Pharaoh heard there is a guy who interprets dream. He's in prison. So Joseph had been in prison for 13 years. So get this. He was going through a hard time for 13 years in prison, plus the years he was a servant in the house of his master in Egypt. Everything looked negative. Everything looked bad for Joseph. So eventually Joseph goes and interprets the Pharaoh's dream. When he interprets the dream, then he gives the solution to the Pharaoh for what was going to happen. There was going to be a famine on the earth, and people were going to be, they were not going to have enough food and stuff like that. And so Joseph helps Pharaoh understand what he needed to do. And Pharaoh was so happy and puts Joseph as a second in command of Egypt. When he finally is second in command, and his brothers come to get food from Egypt, we know the story says in chapter 50 of Genesis that his brothers were standing in front of him. This is years after they sold him as a slave, years after he had gone through jail and all these sufferings just for being a good man. And then when his brothers are there, he knows who they are, and he forgives them. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, his brothers were, you know, we don't deserve this. We don't know. We should have never done that. We were immature. We should have never done this to you. I know you suffer. And they realize what they have done wrong. But then Joseph said, your intent was to harm me. Yeah, you wanted me to suffer. You actually wanted to kill me. But your intent was to harm me. But God's intent, He intended all this for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So through Joseph's suffering, the people of Israel were saved. But not just that, because the story doesn't finish there. A lot of times we talk about the story of Joseph and we leave it at that point. No, after that, Joseph continued. He brings all his family into Egypt. And once his family is all into Egypt, they're all in Egypt now. They're having a good time. Joseph dies, and his family stays there for the next 400 years, but they become slaves. And when they become a slave, so now Joseph has suffered all this to save the Israelites. And after he saves the Israelites, now the Israelites are in Egypt, but they become slaves for the next 400 years. And then the Israelites are all complaining. They're not understanding what's going on, but they're not trusting in God through the process either. But I want you to see one thing. Let's look at the next verse, David. Let's put the next verse. I want you to see that it says here that while they were slaves, while they were going through a hard time, while they were going through trials, God was doing something else. God had a purpose on this. And it says in Psalm 105, verse 24, the writer of this psalm describes what was going on in Egypt. He says, and the Lord multiplied the people of Israel. So the first thing God was doing, he was multiplying the people of Israel. They came in as a small group of people. After 400 years, there were millions of people who were Israelites. But there were not just millions of people. Now, he says, they became too mighty for their enemies. In other words, they became stronger than their enemies. So while they were doing the work of a slave, they were getting stronger physically too. So there were a big multitude now. They were stronger, physically stronger. But in verse 37, it also says look at what verse 37 says. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt loaded with what? So while they were there, they were multiplying, they were getting stronger, but they were also going to get rich. You know that the Egyptians, you know what the Egyptians did? They gave them their wealth and said, you know what, get out of here, please leave. And gave them their wealth. Now, when they were going through these hard times, when they were going through all these problems that they were having, when they were being mistreated, they did not understand God was doing something else in the other hand. God was doing something else. And it's because so many times we only focus on the pain, not on the gain. We only focus on the pain, not on the gain. That's why sometimes when you go and you haven't worked out in months, and then you try to work out and you get all sore, it's like, man, I would like to be in shape and everything, but I don't enjoy this pain that I'm going through. But without the pain, there's no gain. And so the question is, God was protecting Joseph to protect the people of Israel. And then through the pain, he was also going to provide for the people of Israel. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, a lot of times the favor of God allows pain in our lives because pain is necessary for us to go a different direction, or for us to be protected by the Lord. I don't know, maybe you never got that job that you were hoping for, the dream job that you were hoping for. If you didn't get it, God was protecting you for something. You don't know what it is. You still got to trust in God. Maybe a relationship that was hurting you, and he allowed a problem after problem after problem so you can see that was not for you. And then later on, you're like, man, I wish I could just... No, God was protecting you. God's favor uses those hard times, the painful times, to correct us and to protect us. If we can only understand that. Because when we come back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we have to understand that God will bring everything together. But listen to me. God will bring everything together to produce something good in our lives. That is God's favor. He is going to bring everything together. And I want you to look at Romans 8 again. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes... Notice this, we know God is the one who's doing this. He's purposely doing whatever you're going through. God is doing it on purpose. God is allowing it on purpose. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. And the we know doesn't mean that we know the details of the hard times that we're going through, or the trials that we're going through. But the we know is that we know that we can trust in God while we're going through those hard times. We do know that part. Paul says we can know beyond all doubt, beyond all doubt, that every aspect of our lives is in God's hands. The question is, do you trust that? Do you trust that word? Also in this verse, we can see that God is at work on our behalf. And when God is at work on our behalf, it's because it says God causes everything to work together for you and me. God is at work on our behalf. And he says everything. A few years ago, I was asked by somebody, Pastor, what does everything mean? What does all mean? All things. And I said, the Greek says that all means all. It doesn't mean some. It means all. You mean the problem that I was having, God was going to use that for a purpose, for a good thing in my life? Yes. Everything works for good for those who love God. In the process of putting things together, have you ever put together a puzzle? when you put together apostle, you're like, you know, you have a problem in front of you if you're not good with apostles like me. You have a problem because especially if you don't have the box, it's almost impossible to put it all together, right? And a lot of times, you know, in life, we don't have the top of the box to do the apostle. But God has it. God knows what exactly is going to happen. God knows what piece goes where and when. And the thing is, I like it. I like the word in Spanish. The word in Spanish for apostle is rompecabezas. That means you're breaking your head. That's the literal translation. Rompecabezas is you break your head. Yeah, when you're going through a problem, don't you feel like you're breaking your head trying to find a solution for that problem? You're breaking your head, you're frustrated, and you don't understand why is that problem in your life. And the Bible says He will use it for something good in your life. Again, the question is not, is He going to use it for something good in your life? The question is, do you trust God is going to use that in your life? For the good of those who love God, everything works together. Let me finish with this. When Paul uses an important word to describe everything will work together. The word he uses here is the word synergeo in Greek. It's the word synergeo is the word where we get the word synergism. What does that mean? I mean, if you haven't been in school for a long time like me, you have to look at the definition of that. Synergism. What is synergism? This is the word in Greek. It's the working together of various elements to produce an effect that is greater than and often completely different from the sum of each element acting separately. In other words, it's the working together of all these situations that you go through life. You have different situations, you have different issues, but all those different issues, when they're separated, they're not good. But when they all come together, and it says God is the one who brings them all together. When they're all together, the effect is greater and is better. In a physical world, the right combination of harmful chemicals can produce substances that are extremely beneficial. I give you a simple illustration. Ordinary table salt. You know that salt is composed by two poisons? Salt is composed by two poisons, sodium and chlorine. You take each one of those separately, it's poison. You might die. But when you put it together, the sodium and the chlorine, it becomes salt. And you use those in your French fries, right? It becomes something good when you put it all together. And the one who puts it all together is God. Yeah, you might be going through one thing here, another thing there, and you might not understand. You don't have to understand it. You just have to trust in the process. And you have to trust that God is at the end going to work it for good. Now, there is one condition. He says He is going to work it for good for those who love Him. The question is, do you love God? Do you trust God? Because His favor, it's applied. His favor is applied in your life, even through those hard, dark times. And a lot of times we have a hard time letting other people know how to pray for us when we're going through a hard time. If you don't want to let people know, at least make sure you pray and you communicate with God. And you tell God, I acknowledge that you have control over every situation, no matter how tough it is, what I'm going through. This morning, in our first service, the Spanish service, I had a nice visitor. I had a friend of mine, and I had no idea that this year, it's 40 years since we began our friendship. We were 13 years old. But when we met, we were only 13 years old. When we met, I never knew that when I came to the United States at 18 years old, he was going to be the one, the only person who took me in. Because I had no family. And I had no idea the process God was going to take me through that. A lot of suffering in the process. But my friend was there. And this morning, I have prayed for him for 40 years. And this morning, after our Spanish service, we went into my office. And he cried with me. And he said, in 40 years, I have never come to church with you or with anybody. He said, God has taken me through a process that I don't understand, he said, but I want to be here. And I said, Lord, 40 years ago you put us together. We went through the army together. We did everything together. And I had no idea what God was going to do. And he didn't even tell me he was coming this morning. He just showed up. And he said, I'm going to trust that you're going to be there, that you're not going to be absent today. And I said, I'm glad you came. God has used a lot of things in our lives for the benefit of those who love God. A lot of times we don't understand the processes we go through. We don't have to. You just have to trust in the one who has control of the process. You just have to trust in God. You just got to trust in God. I encourage you to trust. I encourage you to pray and ask God to help you trust in Him. No matter how hard, no matter how dark the time that you're going through, no matter if in your life you feel like you're in prison, like Joseph was 13 years. A lot of times we feel prisoners of a lot of things. Because we worry so much to resolve. We want to resolve. We want to fix those things. And God is going to use them for something better in your life. Again, you just got to learn to trust in the process. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And just like we were singing earlier, Lord, we recognize that all of our lives you have been faithful. All of our lives you have been good to us. Even through those dark, hard, tough times in our lives. Even through the storms. Even if I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you've been with us. Lord, help us to not to understand every detail, but help us to trust you in the process of anything and everything that we're going through. You have been so good to us, Lord. And we just pray that we will learn every single day to put our hearts in your hands. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.